suffering, Jesus is the sweetest thing I know. He fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. I truly thank the Lord for that. And if you don't know him this morning, he's real. And he'll keep you singing as you go, no matter what life may bring. It seems like there's been something on my heart for a while now. A song that just blew apart, going through and through my mind. The song says, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given me? And feel like God has just been burned into my heart. The burden of my heart this morning comes from that. The Lord gave his life for us. What have we given him? You know, he left the splendor of heaven. He was came to earth. He took on a position. I think of the taint of shame, the taint of disgrace that even came with his birth. The people looking on that didn't understand what was happening. He came and lived as a human for us. To go through death for us. To shed his blood for us. And all the things that he went through didn't even have. You know, I think of those that are expecting a child, and, you know, especially that first child, and then every child is just as important. But they're so ready to get the nursery ready, to get everything together, to be able to have something nice, something pretty, something that fits that child. Jesus didn't have that. He was laid in the manger. There wasn't any room for him anywhere. But he was taken to a stable. And he was laid in the manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I think of how, as he went on in life, I'd like to go to Matthew, the 8th chapter, starting at the 19th verse. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The way he lived his life, the way he gave himself so fully to the cause of the Father, of his Father, to go forth with what God, the place God had for him, to fulfill for us in this life. And I thought the person that came to him said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, it seems a little bit like a dash in the face. Let's go on and say, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. That sounds pretty strong. You know, he was letting his disciples know, this is not a way that's easy to the flesh. This is not a way that is going to be strewn with flowers. He said, if you want to follow me, remember, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And to remember that if you want to follow me, there's going to be times when that it may look like, Lord, this over here seems more important, but the Lord says, I want you to put me first. I want you to go forth and go and do and follow me in whatever in life, whether it's something you understand or not. And I think of the example of what the Lord did for us. He died as a thief and a robber on the cross. He was spit upon. You know, they reviled against him and mocked him. He wore the crown of thorns. He was whipped. That whipping was not just a little whipping with a twitch. He was whipped. And the blood that flowed, he was crucified. He bore the sins of the whole world. You know, there's no way. There is no way we can ever, ever begin to understand that. You ever had to bear
the sins of one person to a certain degree?
To bear the repercussions?
To bear the pain? To bear the hurt?
You know, it can get to where sometimes it's more than one person can seem to handle. But Jesus bore on the cross the sins of the whole world. He felt the weight of it. He bore the sins of the whole world.
Yes. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? I'd like to go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and read a scripture there. Hebrews 12, and it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, Jesus had a vision. He said that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you know that, dear one, this morning we have to have a vision. To have a vision that is God's vision of what God wants for us in life, of what He has for us in life, to be able to have that lively hope in this life, but in the life to come, to look up and to look to heaven. Look to what God has for us and what He has out there, to have not only that, a vision of souls. Jesus had a vision of souls. He was willing to come and go through all of this to give His life for us. He was willing to do that. I think in one place it tells us that, you know, even a good man will die for his friends. But Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. While we were crucifying Him afresh. While people were coming against Him and reviled, He died for that person. He died for each and every one. He died while we are yet sinners. He died for us. He cared for each one. He had a vision. A vision of souls that are lost, that are in trouble, and what sin has brought upon the world, and what it will do to a soul. And He was willing to die. He was willing to go through all of that for you, and for me, and for the vilest sinner. It doesn't matter if it's a pedophile or whoever it may be. God died for each and every soul. You know, everyone, the Lord wants us to have a vision. To have a vision, not only of the glory of Christ here and to come, but a vision of souls, to be able to have that kind of vision. I gave my life for you. What hast thou given to me? What have we given to Him? What do we give back unto the Lord in our lives? And to have that, but the Lord was tempted in all points like as we. You know, He went through the temptations of the flesh. He had those temptations greatly, but yet without sin. You know, He came that we could be able to have that same thing, not in our own power, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, to have the gift of salvation, to be a new creature and born in Christ Jesus, to be able to have that we can live godly in this wicked world that we live today, whatever our day and our time is. You know, that is a very important thing. And it comes into, I'd like to go to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and read something there. Luke 22 and 52. Jesus lived in a time and came in a time when the world was in such degradation. You know, marriage was just so looked down upon and so abused and misused and didn't even mean that much. children, women, in every act of life, in every place of life, the things that were there, it's like sin stalked the streets, as history said. Sin stalked. And I think of how Jesus came with such a love for every one of these people. In His time, He came and died, that we might be able to have life and have it more abundantly. That we could be able to have the power of God within us to live in a righteous way in this sinful and ungodly world today. It says, let's go to the 52nd verse. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders which were come to Him, when He was betrayed and arrested. And He said unto them, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. I'd like to now go to John, the 12th chapter. In the 27th verse, and it says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? This was Jesus. When He came, He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. You know, dear one, it says, this is your hour. You know, they came against Jesus and were going to take Him and crucify Him. He was betrayed and He was arrested. But it was all a part of the plan of God. There's another place that says something about, there is an end to the things concerning me. Talking about Jesus. That there is an end to the things concerning me. There is a purpose. There was a plan. And yet, it looked like this was their hour. It was the very power of darkness. It looked like the devil was triumphing, that he was getting his heyday, so to speak. They were coming in. They were going to crucify Him. They had been jealous of Him, hated Him, and they were getting what they wanted. They were going to put Him to death. They're going to put an end to this, they thought. But no, the Lord said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Do you know there are times and places in life that it looks like the enemy is having his heyday? It looks like the devil is having his way. It's his hour. It's the power of darkness. You know, one place it says to fret not ourselves because of those that prosper in their way, those that are wicked that prosper. Do you know, this is their hour. And the power of darkness. But you know there's a purpose and a plan in God's life for Jesus, and there's a purpose and a plan in our lives for God. And the Lord wants us to know. He said over here, He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. I want to ask us this morning, what do you suppose is going to be our hour in life? What is the cause that God has for us and the purpose for us in life? What do you suppose? You can be sure of this. There is an end concerning the things concerning us too. Those that are living for God, He winnoweth their paths and He goes before them. And that there will be an end concerning those things. And that end is to the glory of God. And it will be for the glory of our souls also. But I also would like for us to think about this. That power of darkness and the hour. He said, for this cause came I into this hour. Do you know God has a place for each and every one of us in the time in which we live? We can't go back and live 200 years ago and what they went through. But in the time in which we live, He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. You know, end of the world. The Lord promised He would be with us no matter what happens, all the way through every time, through every situation, through every generation, to the end of the world. He promised that He would be with us. But I want us to look at this. What are we here for? One place, we're here for the glory of God. But I think, what are we here for? Are we just here to exist and have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? You know, in our country, that is a very important thing that we value highly. It was set up that each and every one is endowed to be able to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What does that mean? What does that mean? To be endowed upon each one to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do you know, I'd like to read something that John Adams quoted, one of his quotes to the military. He says, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a well goes through a net. Our Constitution is designed only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other." What are we seeing today in our world today? What are we seeing? And what is going on in this country that it was set up that all men was endowed to be able to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? But what does that mean? You know what? If we look around and we look at what is going on in our world today, when sin and flesh gets into the definition of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, when the passions, human passions, unbridled by morality and religion, are turned loose in our country, when the flesh gets involved, what happens to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I have the right to my own lifestyle, no matter who it hurts or what it does. I'm going to tell you what, this goes back to when adultery was cut loose amongst us also. I'm not just talking about the present things of today, but I have a right to be happy, whatever the cost to somebody else. I have the right to go forward, whatever the cost to someone else, to be all that I can be. To be or do anything that I want to do. At what expense? We're all endowed with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But when the flesh is turned loose in that, when it's turned loose completely to what I want and what is best for me, do you know what happens? You're going to have clashes. You're going to have war, destruction, corruption, hurt, and pain. Because then what happens? What I want and what you want and is going to clash with your wants, with your desires. What I want to be and that I can have everything and be all that I can be may clash at times with what you can be. And I think of how that in our country today, when the flesh gets involved, freedom serves me. And when freedom serves me, it's going to clash with the freedom that serves you. And it's going to cause problems. It's going to bring about problems all the way around and in that. But I think also that when the way of right goes with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, people will argue up and down as to what this country was founded on. But I want to tell you, people came to this country for religious freedom. The moral standards in our country were strong when this country was founded. Oh yes, there's always been real immorality somewhere in humankind. It always will be. But it was so strong that what was acceptable in society was based greatly upon the principles of right and wrong that derived itself from the Word of God and Jesus Christ. The things that were right and wrong. And as our country has gone on and those morals have eroded, slowly but surely eroded, as the acceptable thing, well, yes, like I said, it's always had immorality, but as what is accepted in humanity, as what is accepted, because when people have deep beliefs, and that's what it's founded on, and that's the thing that is there, it will cause there to be boundaries, and there will cause discipline. It will influence the discipline of our magistrates, the discipline of our judges, the discipline in our government. What is in the people will influence that. What was in the people of our land influenced the whole making of our Constitution and what came down in our country. And I think of how that whenever there are things that are based on truth. You know the Word says, I am the truth, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus says. And I think of how it says in one place, the truth shall set you free. The truth of Jesus Christ in our lives will set us free as we take it in and practice it and allow it into our lives and allow it to take effect. It will bring freedom. That freedom comes also by the principles, the discipline that is in Jesus, that is in the Word. That is discipline, those boundaries, the things that is taught, that are taught to us by the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, in the Word of God. Do you know those things are boundaries? They are things that are set there. There are walls and bulwarks to protect us and to be able to give freedom. It brings freedom as we follow the Word and what it teaches us. It helps bring freedom not only to ourselves, but it balances the freedom to other mankind. And I think of how that in our country, as this has changed and gone on and time has happened and what has happened today, we find as time went on and the morals of our country and what is right and wrong, I think of a scripture that says, if you give someone a cup of water in my name, there is a reward for that. Do you know anywhere mankind practices truth of Christ, it will bring that amount and measure of freedom to them? They can be an abject sinner. But when they will look at someone else and do unto others what is they would have done unto them, it brings about that peace and happiness and freedom that truth is. It's because it's truth. You know, you can get any religion of the world today and you will find some of the same truth intermingled, sprinkled throughout, that's in the Word of God. But do you know what? Truth is founded in God and it was there at the beginning. It was there at the beginning. It's something He put into mankind, into their consciences, and it causes them. And whenever mankind will follow after what is right and what is wrong, it will have its reward. It will bring forth the fruit of that reward. And I think of how the Lord wants us to realize that in our country today, we are losing fast a lot of our freedoms. Why? Because the flesh has got into life, liberty, and the pursuit of conscience, of happiness. The flesh has got into it so much. To turn loose is what I want, so I have a right. A free speech, it doesn't matter. If my free speech crosses you and come against you, whoever we are, it doesn't matter who it hurts or what it comes against. I have a right. I thank the Lord for the right of free speech. I'm not coming against that this morning. But what I'm coming against is the disciplines, the boundaries that go with that.
Are they turned loose to the want to of mankind? Or do they have boundaries and disciplines that brings forth freedom for mankind?
And I think of that, and I'd like to bring that a little bit into our own lives. Do you know, in one place, it says, use not our liberty for the occasions of flesh, but to love and serve one another with love. Do you know, when it comes to Christianity, the same thing goes. The life that Christ came for us, that we could have life and have it more abundantly, the freedom that's in the truth of God's Word, what God has for His people, what He has for them, if the flesh gets involved, it's going to start, freedom will serve me. That's why He says, use not liberty for occasion to the flesh. Do you know, if we turn loose our wants-tos in the name of freedom in God, then it's going to change. It's going to not change God, but it's going to tear down what God really came for in our lives. The freedom, the true freedom from the flesh, freedom from self, freedom against those things that would destroy us and would come against us. You know what? The Lord wants us to realize this in our lives and the importance to parallel this in our lives, because just as avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our constitution, when self gets in to Christianity, it will break what God came to really found for us. It will break it into pieces. It will cause it to become something that will cause destruction, cause problems. You know, the Lord wants us to realize that He came that we could be partakers of the divine nature and therefore escape the corruption that is in the world. By being a partaker of the divine nature, of His divine nature, we can escape the corruption that is in the world through us. Does that mean He's going to take us out of the repercussions of sin? No. He's not going to take us out of the repercussions of sin. He just says, remember how He told us that He would pray that we not be taken out of the world, but that we be kept from the evil of the world in our own souls. We can maintain a freedom. We can maintain truth. We can maintain life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness no matter what happens in life. It brings forth that peace that passes all understanding, because it's not a peace that's brought about because the situation gets better. It's a peace that's brought about by God working in us and making us better, doing something inside of us. That is what Jesus came that we could be able to have. You know, I want us to think about it. I gave my life to thee, what hast thou given to me? I'd like to go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and read something there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice before God. To give ourselves our all in all unto the Lord, and let Him be our all in all. That is our reasonable sacrifice to the Lord. Do you know what? Jesus didn't come to set up a kingdom in this world. Even His disciples thought He was doing that there at first. Others thought that the Messiah was going to come and set up a kingdom in this world. He came that we could have. The kingdom of God brings forth, it said in one place, is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know what? If we're going to have that, we're going to have to let Him have full reign in our lives. Let Him work in our lives that we serve Him. That true love, unselfish love, that
That which is founded on what is right and wrong by the principles of the Word of God. That if we give that in our lives, it brings forth freedom and serves freedom. I didn't know how to word this, but it serves freedom or freedom serves that. But I'm going to tell you, that's how it works together. Those things working together. And the importance of what the Lord wants us to see, that, you know, the Lord wants us to realize that yes, we are going to face things in our lives that are the repercussions of sin. He's not going to take us away from the pain and evil, but through Jesus Christ, we can be able to have this in Him. We can have the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that is greater than anything that we've ever witnessed in our country. Because it's something that goes far deeper in our souls. It will help us in our country or in any country when a situation is taken care of and it brings peace. It's a blessing that Christ will bring that peace no matter what the situation is. He will bring that in our lives. But I want us to look at something in Hebrews 12, 2 and 4. Someone will get that for me, please. Hebrews 12, 2 and 4.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against Satan.
I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given me? Do you know the contradiction that was in all that Christ went through us and what He bore for us? He says that we haven't resisted unto blood. You know, we live in a country that I thank God for, but we're fast losing some of the things that people have taken for granted and don't realize the great value of. We're fast losing some of that. And I think of how, in this country, what a wonderful thing that we've been able to have the freedoms that we have had. But do you know what? As paganism, heathenism, darkness covers and comes out in our world more and more. As paganism is turned loose, as heathenism is turned loose, as more and more of the principles of right and wrong that help bring forth this life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that we have had amongst us. You know, dear ones, as more and more of paganism and heathenism is turned loose amongst us, do you know that our darkness is darker? And it's going to get darker. That hour of darkness, that power of darkness is going to get darker. But oh, dear ones, even as we look at this and we see this, what affects the world comes down into, I'll say that a little different, it affects us. Even the people of God, wherever they are, it affects them. And we've got to be careful that we don't take on the same kind of things that are affecting the world. I would like to go to Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and starting at the 13th verse, read something. It says, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And it goes on. I don't want to take the time to read all of this, but it goes on and tells the things the Lord will bring forth in this kind of situation. Do you know it's always been this way? When mankind turn away from God and turn loose the cup of iniquity that is there in sin, and they turn it loose instead of adhering to the things of God, this is the kind of thing God will allow to happen to those people. It has all down through time. It happened here. It can get to the place that people like Job, Daniel, and Noah can save no one else but themselves. Do you know, dear ones, I think we're not quite to that place yet. But we're getting to the place more and more. We need to take advantage of the time that we have in the Lord. We need to take advantage. I would like to go on and sit down to the 22nd verse. It said, "Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their ways and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God." Do you know what? God will always have a people dedicated to Him. He will always have a people that is dedicated, that is willing to let their bodies be a living sacrifice to God. And that is what God wants of us, dear ones, to be willing to give our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, many times people will give themselves for many things. People would throw their children many, many years ago to the crocodiles for their gods. Today, people throw their children to the devil for their gods. The things I want to do, but is destructive and brings forth destruction. Today, that is happening, dear ones, all over our land. And we're seeing the effects of it and the violence that is taking place in our land today more and more. You see it and you read it. And I think of this, of how God wants us to realize He wants a people that is willing. There are people that will give themselves for their work. They will work and they will work and they will work and give their life for their work. There are people, a good man will give his life for his friend. There are people that will give themselves for a good cause. There are people that will give themselves for many things. But God wants a people that will give themselves for the vision that Christ gave Himself for. That vision of souls. That vision that is willing to give themselves back to Jesus Christ. That He can be able to work in them and through them. That He can use them to the glory of God. He wants a people that's willing to give that to them. But I want to tell you, as bondage increases, so does the need for God to work through His people. I want you to think of Joseph. Think of all that Joseph went through and the things that he went through. You know, there were times, I am sure, that he felt like it was their hour and the power of darkness was turned loose. Think of the time he was in the prison and they were supposed to go back and remember him to the king, and they didn't. He had already been through so much. Don't you know he had to fight some of that power of darkness and that hour of darkness? Don't you know he had to go through that? Think of all the things that God allowed Joseph to go through to prepare him to be able to bring deliverance to his people. Do you know what, dear ones? Whenever bondage increases, and the cry gets great, I want us to think about something. Don't be discouraged to see God's people partaking more and more of the passions and the sufferings of Christ. Don't be discouraged. When you look around and it looks like, I don't understand, I've never seen a time like this time. Seems like there's problems on every hand. You look around and you see the people of God bearing about the afflictions of Christ in their body. I mean, literally, physically, spiritually, in the things that are happening in life. When you look about and you see these things that are happening, I want us to remember that when bondage increases, when sin increases, the people of God are going to be called upon to partake more and more of the passions and the suffering of Christ. That is a part of the Christian life. We are all called up that, whatever generation we're in. But dear ones, the burden on my heart this morning is that we are really a pampered people. We are really a spoiled people. And the burden on my heart is this. We have been blessed to have the freedoms in our land that we have. It's given us freedom spiritually. It's given us freedom to be able to live peaceably in this land. But as those freedoms start going away more and more, as paganism, atheism,
yes,
all of these things are turned loose more and more, and that's a part of the Bible. When these things are turned loose, sin is turned loose stronger and stronger. The morality, whenever that human passions become more and more unbridled by morality and religion, they lose the restraints of that. The more that happens, dear ones, the more you can expect to see that the passions and that the sufferings of Christ are going to be mourned by His people. But just as in Ezekiel it says, there shall be a remnant, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it. Dear one, the warning that the Lord put on my heart. Someone get Jeremiah 12 and 5 for me as time is going by. But I would like for us to think, the warning the Lord has given to my heart and soul this morning, I gave my life for you. What have you given to me? What have we given to the Lord? Do you know, dear ones, we have been pampered. We have been through so much less in some ways. Think of the people that had to go to the stake. The people that had to walk out on the ice and freeze. The people that gave their lives, their children standing beside them, their children being taken from them. Dear ones, we've not resisted unto blood yet. We have things before us in our country today, dear ones. There are going to be more and more that is happening, and don't be discouraged when you look around and wonder, why is God letting this happen? Why? Why is this one suffering this persecution? Why is this one going through this? Why are the strange things happening and coming up on our land? Remember, though the staff of the land is broken, it can't even get to where they can save no other but themselves. We have yet some time. God will prepare His people. He prepared Joseph. Christ was even prepared for the cross. He learned through the things that He suffered. Do you know that? Does someone have that scripture I gave you in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 8 and 32. I think it was, what did I give? I'm sorry, it is 12 and 5. Thank you, that's the wrong one.
Yes, thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend for force? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of your heart?
Dear ones, we are in a land today that we've been blessed. We've been blessed spiritually. We've been blessed in many ways. But the warning that is on my heart today, what are we going to do? What is that scripture again? With thou is wearied? With the footmen? How shalt thou contend with the horses and chariots or something like that? I gave my life to you. What hast thou given me? Dear ones, the little things that Christ asks of us. In the little things. Do we buck at it? What are we going to do with the swelling of Jordan? Do we buck at the things that whenever a little bit of problems and trials come our way, are we ready to throw up our hands? What are we going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? We have before us. There are things being turned loose in our land today. And God's people will fill up the cup. Will fill up. Yeah, they will take the place. What is that song that said in one place? Who will suffer with the Savior? Take the little that remains of the cup of tribulation. God wants a people with a vision that goes beyond that freedom serves me. He wants a people with a vision beyond that my freedom in Christ is, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And always there for me to serve me. But God wants us to serve Him, to serve love, to be willing to suffer afflictions, be willing to suffer persecutions, be willing to shed our blood. Remember, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is not all about me. Bloodshed brought it about. The blood of Jesus Christ in our spiritual lives brought that about for us. He's given for us what we give for Him. I think of this scripture, I'd like to go and close into Revelations 2 and 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. That is His promise to us. We don't have to fear those things. Yes, fear will come. But if we give the fear to God, it says, fear not these things. Fear not the things that will come. If you're faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. Be thou faithful. I think of the song that says, I counted on Adam, I counted on Cain. I counted on Jonah, but he was the same. I remember the rest of it. It says, go tell the world, Paul, that I'm counting on you. Dear ones, this is our generation. This is our time. God is counting on His people. He's counting on His people. Lord, help us to not live that freedom serves me. That freedom serves me. The freedom in Christ serves me. And I think you say, Sister Karen, how can I do that? What do I do? What did Joseph do? He went forward and trusted God, gave his life to Him through everything that happened in his life. Things happened that it didn't make sense. God told him, gave him a dream. And you say, well, Joseph, God gave you a dream. That dream in the middle of those places didn't make sense. I can tell you that. I'm sure it didn't make sense to him when he was sold into slavery. It didn't make sense to him when he's put into prison and accused falsely. It didn't make sense to him many times and he felt the power of darkness. But God was preparing him for a cause, for the hour that he had for him. What is our hour? What is the hour that God has for us to give for Him, to be for Him in this time? If we will live our lives and give it fully and completely to Him, no, we're not going to be the ones out there that the world lifts up as idols. It never has been that way. Jesus wasn't like that, and we won't either. But if we'll give our lives fully and completely to follow Him, not bucking at the little things, willing to come under and die to self and let God work in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit lead. Let Him say, Lord, have Thy will be done in my life and not my own. If we will allow that in every way, it may be that you look out and wonder at the things that God allows to happen to His people. Wonder at the afflictions. Wonder at the persecutions. Wonder at what's going on. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Whenever the hour of darkness gets darker, the people of God are going to be called upon to fill that cup for the Lord. To be able to go forward and fill it. Oh, there, we can't do it unless we have a vision. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a vision that's God's vision. That we look beyond me. We look beyond what it's doing to me. What happens to me. We look beyond that to God. I see a purpose and a plan that is greater than me. And I'm willing for you to work it, though I understand it or see it or not. Lord, help us to be willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice in the hour that we have to fill for God. You pray for me.